The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
This is God Calling, and Sister Tracy Mathia Duga is our guest today. Sister, thanks first of all for joining us, but Sister is with the Daughters of St. Paul, an evangelization and really kind of media group, and does a great job of spreading the word and also spreading some great music around. I've been at the cathedral here in Cleveland a couple of times for the Christmas show here at Cleveland. So, but anyway, Sister, welcome to God Calling.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
But where did you grow up, Sister?
Oh, I grew up in South Louisiana. I grew up Catholic. I went to church, basically. But it wasn't until my high school years that I started to get kind of personally had inquiries, let's say, about my faith and how personal I wanted it to be. But being in South Louisiana, Catholicism is kind of in the culture. So it was kind of around, and I believe that, you know, the Lord uses all that kind of thing to take us where he wants us to go if we're willing. So I give a lot of thanks for growing up. I grew up, you know, eating gumbo and jambalaya. I thought everybody ate that, but
sure.
I learned that it wasn't the case.
Your bio from the sisters says you are a Cajun girl from St. Martinsville, Louisiana.
That's right. Yeah, St. Martinsville is where the first settlers that were exiled from Canada. They were French settlers, but because of the war, they were exiled, and they tried to settle in New England area, but because of the Protestant-Catholic conflict, they had to keep going, and so they ended up in Louisiana, and the first Cajuns to land in Louisiana landed in St. Martinville. So both my mother's side and my father's side are from those first 40 families that actually stepped foot.
Wow.
Way back in 17, I think, 60 or so.
Okay. Your bio also says something else, which is kind of cute. It says, as a teen, one of your big goals in life was to get a job at the mall so you could get really good discounts at the Gap.
Yeah. Yeah. I had these really high aspirations. No, my friends were always talking about, you know, that they're bigger goals, and I just didn't have any. I didn't feel inspired to really single out one thing. I knew I was gifted in art and the arts, but didn't feel any real pull or direction in that whole question. And so I figured, let me just get a good job. I'll be able to be stylish, you know, for an economical price. And somewhere in the midst of all of that, I ended up making a journey that brought me here.
What was life like at your home? Was it daily prayer or weekly mass?
Well, my parents taught us to pray, you know, when we were little kids, we would kneel down by our bed.
Sure.
And say our prayers. And then, you know, we went to Sunday Mass. But there wasn't anything like, you know, prayers before meals. My mom didn't really, like, we didn't even do like a nativity set. You know, it was sort of just did the basics, I would say.
Yeah.
Or even less than the basics. I had an incident happen when I was younger. I was probably 8 years old. And I fell at school, and it was serious. It was a very serious head injury. And when I woke up and my mom was explaining what happened to me, because I didn't remember, she made it very clear that that I came very close to dying and that God must have wanted me to stay because he probably had a purpose for me. And I just remember being very impressed by that and thinking, wow, God knows where I live? You know, like, I'm so young. How could that be? But she said it with so much conviction that I believed her. I believed that God had a purpose for me. But you wander around and you try to figure out, you know, what's the deal in life? Do I do what the world tells me will make me happy? So I tried those things, you know, success in school, popularity, mm-hmm. dating the right boy. But all of it kind of fell short, and I kept searching. And one of the guys that I dated, he was actually a Baptist. And on our second date, we started talking about just what it meant to pray. And I was like, oh, yeah, I say prayers. And he's like, no, but do you just talk to the Lord? And I was like, do you? Mm-hmm. And when he answered me, I realized that he had something I wanted. He had a relationship that was personal with God. And so I started to ask for that. He said, just use your own words. Don't, you know, like, I'm sure their idea of our praying was just different. And so he challenged me to speak from my heart. And I started to do that, and it did change me. You know, they say prayer doesn't change God, it changes you. Well, I started to feel my desires shifting and all these things that I was obsessed with sort of lessen. And I realized I just wanted to have the freedom to be a good person and mm-hmm. to care about other people more than myself, because I was so concerned about myself.
Well, you know, it gets down to a basic thing that I think everybody struggles with a little bit, and that is saying prayers versus praying.
Yeah.
And I think everybody struggles with that, but sometimes, you know, I'm doing a rosary or whatever, and it's like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm halfway done. Let's pause and talk for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of thing.
And I mean, over time, you realize that if anything, you know, like Jesus asked questions, and I think he already knew the answer, but he wanted, like Mary Magdalene at the tomb, like, woman, why are you crying? I think he knew why she was crying, but he wanted her to tell him, to relate herself to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the catch, you know? It's like, that's human, to really express the deeper things to another. And
in dealing with young people, you mentioned something your mother said to you and how that had a life-changing experience or an impact on you. But, you know, it also strikes me, too, that we got to be careful how we talk to kids from the standpoint of the negatives. You say, mm-hmm. A kid might remember something negative, you know, you're stupid, or you can't do artwork, or whatever it is. That can really affect a child.
Right. Yeah, words have power. And depending on where you are, you know, sometimes you're a bit more resilient than other times. But I think the more we can be fed with true things and realize where lies come in and be able to make that discernment. But you're right. Like, it's in our home where we almost receive the word of the other first, whether it's our parents, our siblings. And you're right. I mean, welcome to humanity. Sometimes we do it well. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail others. But I think each of us have the opportunity to see, well, what is true, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Who's telling me the truth? And I want to listen to that. And I want to also be able to detect where they're, like, falsehood or lies, straight out lies, you know, lying about who I am, what kind of meaning my life has. Yeah.
Sister, can you stay right there? We'll be back with more after these messages on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Sister Tracy Mathia Duga is joining us here on God Calling today. Sister, when we left before the commercial, we were talking about discerning truth. And teenagers today, so much of them, you know, getting everything they know or think off social media, and not all social media is good. That's why I think the mission of the sisters is so very important, to have a presence, which you do, online.
Yeah, we definitely have a call in our mission to enter every part of our culture with the truth, with the gospel. And our founder believed, he was a priest in Italy, but he felt that it was St. Paul the Apostle that was kind of using him as an instrument to found us and to call us forth to follow the way Paul was. He used the means of his time to spread the gospel, to communicate. And so he physically went to places, he wrote letters, he used his voice. He spoke truth. And so our founder believed that, you know, for all of every Pauline, every daughter of St. Paul, everyone associated with our mission, We have that mission to enter the places where the culture is, you know, the Areopagus, the place where people gather, and bring the truth there, and to use all the means, visual, beauty, sound, so that there's all these different entry points, if you will, mm-hmm. to the heart.
The mission has kind of changed some from the standpoint that in many, many cities, including here in Cleveland, the sisters always had bookstores.
That's right.
And I don't know if people are reading less these days, but they're certainly reading more online.
Yes, yeah. And so that's a part, a beautiful part of our mission, beautiful and challenging, is that, you know, our founder didn't lock us into only one means or one way of spreading the gospel, because he believed fundamentally Paul would use what was most effective and most powerful. And so, and when we were founded, the printed word was the most powerful used means of communication. But over time, the printed word is still powerful, but it finds itself expressed in different ways. Now it's digital and on social media, et cetera. And so we're always discerning, like, how best to enter with, you know, we're like a little, our mother founders used to say we're a drop in the bucket, but at least we're a drop. You know, we're not a huge enterprise, and we're very small. But there's something about God choosing to use small powers, if you will, small existing people, and going to Bethlehem, if you will, from which he can do amazing things. And so because we were printers, we were also the means of distributing the word was to have a bookstore.
Sure.
And so we had them in various cities, and we were placed in, like, centers of commerce, centers where people were walking to work. And as we know, cities change, culture changes. And so we just have to keep discerning and being kind of a little bit nimble in how we discern what's the best way now. How can we reach people now?
The repurposing that we're talking about is interesting from the standpoint of from books to being more online, more social media these days. But also something I read, we talked about the reality of a faith to a generation that questions it, and the validity and beauty of consecrated life. And the Millennial Nuns is a great example of that, a book.
Yeah, there's so much that we get through encountering someone else that's totally other than ourselves. And we can read it in a book, we can hear it in a song, we could see a post, and it just draws out maybe questions that were always there, but we never put words to them. And that's where we pray to meet people so that we can help them to go deeper.
The Millennial Nuns, tell me about that project of eight nuns, younger nuns telling their stories.
Well, so are you talking about our presence on social media?
Yeah, Millennial Nuns, I think there's a book as well, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, Millennial
okay.
Nuns.
Okay, yes.
About eight of us, yeah, shared our journeys and our stories about how we utilize social media in our faith life, but also how it kind of is an expression of what we live every day. One of the things that's unique about us is that we have what's called a media spirituality. There are teachers that have nuns, teachers, you know, teachers who are nuns, mm-hmm. nuns who are teachers. They're nurses, and so they have the nuns who are nurses. And media professionals have us, the media nuns.
Right.
So we have a specific spirituality that really prays for not just ourselves, but anyone who is a producer. So all of you there at your radio station, we pray for you. We pray for producers. We pray for writers. We pray for those who are on the front line, so that you can integrate your faith into your expressions, into your content, and express the truth in whatever means you are using. And so in the Millennial Nuns book, we each share about how we came to faith, came to discern our vocation, and also how our faith comes to bear on how we produce media.
It's been said many people are growing away from the faith, but in your case, you grew toward the faith and the need to share that faith.
Right, right. And I know that there's so many. I was just listening to some of our sisters who went to the Big Seek Conference in St. Louis. It was about 24,000 young adult Catholics gathered to celebrate their faith last week. And what was amazing is that some of them were there because they're very active, but some were just invited there by a fellow student or someone who maybe have zero faith, but were encountered and encountering our faith with other young people. And I think that witness that we give in our day-to-day life, it's so important. People are begging for some kind of hope. And where do I go for the truth? I mean, there's so many voices. How do I discern? Where is the truth?
Tell me what you think about this. Not a lot of good came out of the pandemic, but one of the good things may have been the fact that that might have given this repurposing or rebranding, whatever you want to call it, of people weren't going to bookstores. So did that speed things up? Was that a good?
Oh, you know, that's a funny way of saying it. And I think you're right. It did kind of speed things up because, you know, change in the church is never quick.
Yeah.
And that's inclusive of religious life. Because you do, you get accustomed to doing the work that you do a certain way. And you're right, the pandemic and all of the challenges that it presented forced us, in a sense, to really step back and say, are we touching or are we even available to most people? And we realized that, yes, there's a lot of people that walk into our places of ministry, but so many don't. So how can we extend the reach? And what is God calling us to do?
Sister, stay right where you are. We'll be back on God Calling with more right after these messages. Welcome back to God Calling. Sister Tracy Mathia Duga is joining us. Sister, tell me about some of the young nuns who are maybe coming to you considering consecrated life. Have they changed over the years? Are they different?
Well, I guess, I mean, you know, young people are always searching. That's one thing that doesn't change. I do believe that there are fewer that grow up with faith as a kind of a daily part of their life, or even certain just human skills, like human relational skills, just because everything is so, if you will, digitized. So, but they long for it. They long for relationships. They long for community. They long for a prayer life. And so what we're finding is the question we're always asking with our discernment programs and how we interact with young women is how can we mentor them and meet them right where they're at and bring them into something that they themselves can cultivate, their faith, their humanity, their maturity, their emotional maturity, their intellectual growth, especially in the faith, so that they can make good discernment. And so that does shift, you know, the way we interact with young people. We do what we call Discernment 101, which we just gather with, it's set times once a month, and those are Zoom interactions. Those are like virtual, but we can get upwards of 60 to 70 women all over the world to take part in these times of giving them a little bit of content to help them grow in their spiritual life and learn about discernment, especially toward religious life, but also be there and kind of, we do small groups and we, you know, share so the sisters can kind of mentor and help them along. And we're finding that those are really effective so that when we do the face-to-face in-person gatherings, we know these young women a little bit more than maybe would have happened in the past.
You know, in hearing stories like there's so much bad social media, it's just wonderful to hear the good uses of social media.
Yes.
Like this. I think it was a quote from you that I read, you're living a spiritual life in a social media world.
Yeah, and so it's a call to integrate. And none of us have it perfect. Like, we don't assume that the way we do it is the only way, but just constantly thinking about how did Jesus draw near to people? How did he listen to them? How did he interact with them? And to transfer that into our social media use. And some of our sisters are really brilliant in the way that they use social media and use it as a platform for sharing the gospel, but just being authentic. You know, I think another thing that's a real hunger in a young heart is don't lie to me. You know, don't sugarcoat things, but tell me the truth. And I think that's a big part of our work as well. It's just being honest and authentic and seeing, you know, letting God do the rest.
I read a term in a bio that I read about you, which you used a term, I think, and I hope I say it correctly, pruning for growth, as maybe a positive way of looking at a smaller church.
Yeah, yeah. Like, who are we to know, you know, how the Lord is going to, well, we just know today, basically. So we're trying to discern and work with God, but knowing that He does. He's a father, and He knows the things that are giving us true life. And by life, it's not just the earthly life, but preparing us for heaven. And if He sees that something is going to block us or going to divert us from our path to Him, He will do what He must to reduce that or to take it out of our life and to lead us to something that will make our faith grow and our relationship with Him grow. And that's kind of where the faith, living the faith and living in the world can come into to maybe some, you know, conflict. But ultimately, I think He calls us to take the world to Him, bring the world to Him, and bring Him into the world.
Mm-hmm. You have an interesting hobby. Tell me about that.
Yes.
Hand lettering.
I know. And I started doing it, hand lettering. So it's kind of like calligraphy, but it's a little more loose and, I don't know, flowy.
Okay.
But it's just a way of writing in a beautiful way. And I started doing it a few years ago because I received a piece of mail where the sender had written my name in beautiful letters. And I thought, wow, that's so inspiring. And I mean, I've always had art and artistic expression as a near and dear part of my life. And so I just started, I was on Instagram, so I started to follow other artists who just did letters, and many of them were not much, if you would, you know, if you looked at the way they started, when they started writing, they had to make a journey too, which was very encouraging for me. Mm-hmm. I realized, wow, you don't have to just come out of the gate and know what you're doing. So that's what I would do, and I would find that watching someone write and make beautiful letters was relaxing and enriching, and you never knew what they were going to end up with. So I started doing it myself, and I've been doing it on Instagram for quite a bit.
If somebody wanted to see an example, how could they do that?
Yeah, so they could go to my Instagram page. It's Sista T Letters, and it's actually the pronunciation of South Louisiana. So I spell it S-I-S-T-A-H underline or underscore T-E-E underscore letters.
We should probably do it again.
Okay.
Just so somebody's got a pen and pencil out, yeah.
Yeah, so it's S-I-S-T-A-H underscore T-E-E underscore letters.
Great. Now, what if somebody wants to know more about the Daughters of St. Paul or the Pauline ministry?
Well, I would say anywhere on social media, if you just do hashtag Media Nuns, you will find the posts of most of our sisters, because we usually try to stick that on to any of our posts. Obviously, we have a website, and on YouTube, you can go on YouTube and listen to some of our sisters tell their stories of how they discerned. You just have to search Daughters of St. Paul, and you would find a lot of info.
There's another hashtag that we talked about with another one of your members some time ago, hashtag On the Move.
Yes, yeah, that whole shift that we're experiencing of discerning our physical presences and our communities. So as St. Paul, you know, he brought the gospel. He was always on the move. So are we. So we're not ever in one place forever. But although we're very blessed for the times that we get to be in any one physical location. But yes, hashtag on the move. It kind of just is a place where we share our journeys and where we go.
Sisters, thank you so much for joining us. Sister Tracy Mathia Dugat, our guest on God Calling from the Daughters of St. Paul. It's been a delightful time talking to you, sister. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for everyone who's listening, for listening. We hope you'll do it each and every week at this very same time on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at AM1260TheRock.com.